This evening, we will continue the new series on the Psalms in the Gospels. And we have three texts this evening. And the first text is Psalm 118, verses 19 through 26. And this psalm is one of the six Egyptian halal, which is a unit of psalms which the Jews would sing when they eat the Passover meal. And Psalm 118 is the final psalm of this Egyptian halal unit. And the second text is from the Gospel according to Matthew. And it's chapter 21, verses 7 through 11. And this passage shows us the Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And actually, the crowds quoted Psalm 118 to greet Jesus as he entered the city. And the last text is also from the same gospel according to Matthew. It's chapter 23, verses 37 through 39. And this is Jesus' lament over Jerusalem. And in this lament, Jesus also quoted Psalm 118. But in a very different sense from the way the crowds quoted. And things we have three texts this evening. And the last two texts are shorter and more familiar to us. So I only ask you to turn your Bible to Psalm 118. And then you will have a greater understanding of this psalm, which we often sing, and which often sounds very familiar to us. In this passage, you can find in your pew Bible on page 649. So I will be reading the first text, and then reading the following texts in the order I introduced them. So Psalm 118, verses 29 through 26, 19 through 26. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And now I will be reading Matthew 21, 7 through 11. The disciples brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks. And Jesus said unto them, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Now Matthew 23, 37 through 39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now let us ask for God's blessing upon his word. O Lord our God, as you send down the rain and snow from heaven to water the earth and bring forth fruits and bread, so we ask that you will not let the words that comes from your mouth return to you empty, but let it demonstrate your power in our hearts, and let it accomplish your purpose in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As many of you may know, Amy is pregnant with our fourth child, and her due date is in early December. And at this time, I try not to think much of that day, because I already have enough trouble to worry about for today. That's why we haven't found out the gender of this baby. But I'm not ready to handle the prospect of having four boys in our household, at least not today. But as that day draws near, especially when it's within the final weeks, the last few weeks before the due date, the big question looming in my mind every day would be, is this the day? Is this the day we should go to the hospital? Is this the day the baby is to come? As the baby is getting bigger, as the baby is dropping lower, we know that the baby is coming closer. And when Amy starts to have contractions, we know that very likely this is the day. Now imagine each prophecy in the scriptures as an unborn baby. And as time passes, as the course of history advances, as signs start to appear, as more and more conditions have been matched, and stronger pain is being felt, and God's people, our expectations are growing ever and ever, then you know that the day for the fulfillment of the prophecy is getting closer. And you will hear people ask each other, could this be the day? Could this be the day for the prophecy to be fulfilled? Could this be the day that we have been waiting for? So do you know what is the greatest prophecy in the Old Testament? What is the day that every Jew in Jesus' time had been waiting for, as a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, as the day when the Anointed One of the Lord, the Son of David, shall enter through the gates of Jerusalem, shall sit on the throne in Zion, shall put his enemies under his feet, and shall restore the kingdom of Israel. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that Psalm 118 prophesies. And this is the day that all the Jews had been expecting when Jesus was entering Jerusalem. So the crowd spread their cloaks and palm trees on the road to welcome and greet Jesus. The crowds went before and after Jesus, shouting and crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna is the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew phrase, Hoshiana, which means save us, we pray. So clearly the crowds were quoting Psalm 118. They were hating Jesus, the Son of David, the promised Messiah who has come in the name of the Lord, who has come to fulfill the plan of the Lord to save his people from their enemies and reestablish the throne of David in the holy city. By all appearances, this must be the day for ever since the fall of Jerusalem 600 years ago. There had never been a king in Israel who was descended from the line of David. Instead, the people of Israel were constantly under foreign occupations. First, by the Babylonians, then the Persians, then the Greeks, and now the Romans. They had been despised and rejected by the nations. And they had been longing for redemption and restoration for so long. Then they heard the message of John the Baptist, who told them that the Messiah was coming. And then they witnessed the miracles of Jesus, which were marvelous in their eyes. And now, this Jesus, the Son of David, mounted on a donkey, was entering through the gate of Jerusalem, which matched the imagery pictured in Psalm 118. And he came right before the feast of the Passover, when this psalm was supposed to be sung by all the Jews who had gone up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So it appeared to the crowds that every detail in Psalm 118 was pointing to Jesus, to his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It seemed that the fullness of time had come. The messianic hope was being fulfilled. The great king had entered into his city, and the Davidic kingdom was to be restored. This must be the day that the Lord has made, and this must be the Christ who has come in the name of the Lord. So the people blessed Jesus. They claimed him as the king, as the Son of David, King of Israel, and they rejoiced and celebrated, and the whole city was stirred up. But Jesus clearly showed that this was not the day that they had expected. This was not a day of joy and gladness, but a day of sorrow and sadness. For as soon as Jesus entered the city, he wept over Jerusalem. He lamented for Jerusalem. And he said to the crowds, "Truly I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" On the one hand, Jesus affirmed that he was indeed the Christ who had come in the name of the Lord. He was indeed the king who had returned to his city. On the other hand, Jesus clarified that this was not the day for him to restore the kingdom of Israel, to recover the glory of the house of David. But he had come to pronounce judgment against Jerusalem, to prophesy the destruction of the holy temple. So he said, "See, your house is left to you desolate, and there will not be left one stone upon another in this place." Why did Jesus pronounce this terrible news to the crowds who received him with such joy and enthusiasm? Because Jerusalem was the city that killed the prophets and stoned the messengers of God. And Jerusalem was the place where the Messiah would die, the Son of God would be killed. But you might ask, did they not warmly welcome Jesus as he entered the city? Did they not hail him as the king and bless him with a loud voice? Yes, they did. But as soon as they realized that Jesus had not come to do what they expected, to fulfill what they desired, they shook their heads at him. They turned their backs on him. And they no longer said, "Hosanna to the Son of David." But they shouted, "We have no king but Caesar." And instead of saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," they cried, "Away with him. Away with him. Let him be crucified and cursed." So by all appearances, this seemed to be the day prophesied in Psalm 118. But in reality, this was not the day. This was the very opposite of the day. But when the king came to gather his people, they were not willing to gather under his wings. When the Messiah came in the name of the Lord, they rejected and resisted him in the house of the Lord. When the Son of God came to claim his inheritance, they took him and threw him out of the city and killed him. So Jesus told the parable of the wicked tenants who not only beat, killed, and stoned the servants who were sent by the owner of the vineyard, but even killed the son, the rightful heir, who had come to get his fruit. And at the end of this parable, Jesus quoted Psalm 118. "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And this was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." And Jesus was saying that he had come indeed to fulfill Psalm 118, but not in the way they had expected, not in the manner they had desired. For he had to be rejected by the builders first, before he became the cornerstone. He had to suffer many things before he entered into his glory. And he had to pass the gates of death before he entered through the gates of righteousness. And this was not the day of his enthronement, but the day of his rejection. This was not the day of his exaltation, but the day of his humiliation. And it was his own city that rejected and resisted him. And it was his own people who would humiliate and persecute him. And it was those who had welcomed and blessed him who would eventually deny him and condemn him. Now it's easy for us to point fingers at the Jews and wonder at their foolishness and stubbornness. But how easier it is for us to fall into this same state of mind, to embrace this same frame of spirit. For we all have our own expectations, and we all have our own desires. We all expect God to save us from evils. We all want God to bless us with success. And I'm not talking about things we are not supposed to ask, the things of the world and the vanities of this life. For I believe that most of the time you do pray according to the will of God, and you simply expect God to fulfill his promises and ask God to manifest his glory. Maybe it's a godly relationship you are pursuing. Maybe it's a job opportunity that will supply your needs. Maybe it's a covenant child that you long to have. Or maybe it's a chronic pain that you want to be relieved of. Maybe it's a dominant sin you strive to overcome. Maybe it's the conversion of a close friend. Or maybe it's the repentance of a prodigal son. Maybe it's a revival of the church. and even maybe at the day of the second coming of the Lord. So you pray over and over. You ask again and again. You set your hope on God, and you wait for God to act. And then there are promising signs that God seems to be answering your prayer. And there's good progress that your hope is becoming true. And you start to believe that this is the time that God is opening the door to you. And this is the day that God will make his face shine upon you. But suddenly, the door is closed. The light is gone. Your hope is shattered. And you realize that this is not the day you have been praying for and anticipating for so long. Now what are you going to do? Are you going to continue praying and keep waiting? Or will you lose heart and lose hope? Will you get angry with God and turn your back on him? But I tell you, maybe this is not the day that you have hoped for. Maybe this is not the day that God has appointed to answer your prayer, to grant your success, to give you relief. But this is the day for you to receive abundant mercy from God. This is the day for you to celebrate marvelous doings of the Lord. This is the day for you to enter through the gates of righteousness. This is the day for you to draw near to the throne of grace. This is the day for you to know that his grace is sufficient for you. This is the day for you to understand that his power is made perfect in your weaknesses. So this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that you should rejoice and be glad in the Lord, the God of your salvation. When Jesus had entered Jerusalem, the Jews were quick to realize that this was not the day that they had hoped for. And they were quick to turn away from Jesus and reject him. But they failed to realize that this was the day the king came to his city. The Lord came to his temple. The Savior came to redeem Israel from his sins. Jesus entered through the gate of Jerusalem as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, to offer himself as atonement for our sins, so that we might receive his righteousness, so that we might enter through the gate of the Lord, so that we might come into the holy place by his blood. And how sad it is that the Jews fail to recognize the time of their visitation. They fail to receive the king for whom they have waited for so long. But they fail to receive the king when he actually came to visit his city to deliver his people. They rejected him when he came. But I tell you, if you reject Jesus today, if you abandon your faith in him, your sin is much greater than the sin of the Jews. For they rejected the king when he was to ascend the throne. But you reject the king who is now sitting on the throne. For they reject the king who came to die. But you reject the king who has been raised from the dead. For they reject the king in his state of humiliation. But you reject the king in his state of exaltation. And you will be liable to greater judgment if you reject him now. So people of God, this might not be the day you have hoped for. This might not be the day when God will answer your prayer and satisfy your desire. But this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day Jesus is reigning on his heavenly throne. This is the day Jesus has come to meet you. This is the day for you to rejoice and be glad in him. And if you hold fast to him, if you remain faithful to him, there will be a day when he will wipe away all your tears and take away all your pains. There will be a day when he will fulfill all your desires and fulfill all his promises. And there will be a day when he will abolish all every evil and swallow up death forever. But between this day and that day, no matter your day, how hard your day is, bless him who was and who is and who is to come. Bless him at all times and in all circumstances. Bless him who has come in the name of the Lord to do the will of the Father. Bless him who died for you and who rose from the dead. Bless him from this time forth and forevermore. Let us pray. O God, our Father, how often do we murmur against you when you don't supply our needs and satisfy our desires? And how easily can we lose heart when you don't answer our prayer in the day of trouble? But Lord, open our eyes and let us see that this is the day that you have made. And this is the day you will glorify yourself in our weaknesses, so that even if the fig tree shall not blossom, even if the field yield no fruit, we will rejoice in Jesus Christ. We will be glad in our Savior. In his name we pray. Together we say, Amen.